Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really common, but I think mechanically quite interesting condition, trigger finger.
Right, stenosing tenosynovitis, if we're being technical.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And our mission is to, you know, make sense of it. We're using information from a top-notch, peer-reviewed patient education source that really focuses on these kinds of musculoskeletal issues.
Good stuff.
The goal is that you, the listener, walk away understanding exactly what's going on. And just a reminder, this is for general understanding, always see a healthcare professional for actual medical advice.
Definitely. So let's start with the name, trigger finger. It gets that name for a very specific reason. It's not just about soreness.
Right.
It's this mechanical catching. The finger or thumb literally gets stuck bent.
Uh-huh.
And then when you try to straighten it or it forces itself straight, there's this snap, like pulling a trigger.
Yeah, that pop.
That pop is the sound of the system sort of, well, resetting itself. It's quite distinct.
And that sound makes you immediately think, okay, is it a bone? Is the joint damaged?
Understandably, yeah. But the source material we looked at is really clear on this. The fundamental problem isn't skeletal at all.
It's soft tissue.
It's the tendons. So what we want to unpack today is why that happens. What's the actual mechanism causing that stuck feeling?
Okay, so the technical name again? Stenosing tenosynovitis. Let's break that down.
Sure. Tenosynovitis, that just means inflammation. Inflammation of the tendon and the synovium, which is the lining around it, the sheath.
Right.
And stenosing, that means narrowing or like a restriction.
Ah, so a narrowing because of inflammation in the tendon lining.
You got it. The core issue is a swollen structure. The tendon getting choked or constricted by the tunnel it's supposed to slide through.
Let's use that tunnel idea because I think that makes it really clear. Imagine the tendons that bend your fingers, the flexor tendons.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like ropes running from your forearm down into your fingers.
Yeah, and to keep them running smoothly and close to the bone, they pass through these little tunnels, these sheaths or pulleys.
Like guides for the rope.
Exactly. And one specific pulley, the A1 pulley, right at the base of the finger in the palm, that's usually the key spot here.
So in a healthy hand, the tendon just glides back and forth through that A1 pulley tunnel, no problem.
Effortlessly. Flex, extend, smooth as silk.
Okay, so here's where things go wrong. The tendon gets irritated somehow.
Maybe from overuse, repetitive movements.
Or the sheath itself gets inflamed, the tenosynovitis part. And then what happens?
Well, things start to swell. Either the tendon itself gets thicker or the sheath lining swells up, or often kind of both.
So the rope gets thicker and the tunnel gets tighter.
Precisely. Now that tendon is trying to squeeze through a space that's just too small for it.
Does something else happen to the tendon?
Often, yeah.
Yeah.
It can develop this little bump, like a nodule, almost like a knot forming on the rope, usually right before it tries to enter that tight pulley.
Okay, I can picture that. So when you try to straighten the finger?
That nodule hits the entrance of the tight pulley, it catches.
And it gets stuck.
Stuck. Until you apply enough force, either consciously pulling it straight or just the muscles doing their thing, snap. The nodule suddenly pops through the restriction. That's the trigger release you feel and sometimes hear. And all that friction, that forced movement, that's what causes the pain and makes it hard to use your hand normally.
It's fascinating how it goes from just irritation to this actual mechanical block. So who's most likely to run into this sticky tunnel problem?
Well, the sources point to a few things. Lifestyle and what you do for work are pretty significant.
Repetitive actions, right?
Definitely. Anyone whose job or hobby involves a lot of forceful, repetitive gripping.
Like what?
The source gives examples like musicians, think guitarists, violinists, gripping those instruments tightly.
Okay.
Farmers using tools or machinery, factory workers doing the same hand motion hundreds, maybe thousands of times a day. It's basically an overuse injury for that tendon system.
But it's not just overuse, which I found really interesting. It suggests trigger finger isn't simply about straining your hand.
No, absolutely not. It often seems to be linked to, or at least more common in people with, other underlying health conditions. It hints at a systemic connection.
Right. One of the big ones the sources mentioned.
The two major players highlighted are diabetes mellitus and rheumatoid arthritis. People with these conditions have a significantly higher risk.
Why would something like diabetes affect a tendon in your finger like this?
It's complex, obviously, but the general idea is that both conditions can impact soft tissue health systemically. Rheumatoid arthritis involves chronic inflammation everywhere, including tendon linings, which directly causes that thickening and swelling.
Okay, that makes sense for RA. What about diabetes?
With diabetes, especially if blood sugar control isn't great over time, it can affect blood flow and also cause changes in the collagen that makes up the tendons. This can make them less flexible, thicker, maybe more disorganized structurally.
Leading back to that swollen tendon that doesn't glide well.
Exactly. It primes the tendon for this kind of problem.
And there are demographics too, right? It's not evenly spread.
Correct. The source notes it's more common in women than men, and it typically shows up in people between the ages of, say, 40 and 60.
Okay, so let's say someone fits that profile. Maybe a woman in her 50s, perhaps also managing diabetes, and she starts noticing the stiffness, pain in the palm, maybe that clicking or popping. What happens when she goes to the doctor?
Well, the good news is that the diagnosis is usually pretty straightforward. It's mainly clinical.
Meaning based on what the doctor sees and hears.
Yes. It starts with listening carefully to your symptoms. Mm-hmm. You describe the morning stiffness, the pain, and especially that characteristic popping or locking sensation.
I read sometimes it gets totally stuck.
Yeah.
You have to use your other hand to physically pry it open.
Yeah, that's a very strong indicator, a real giveaway. Then comes the physical exam.
What do they do?
The doctor will gently move your finger, ask you to bend and straighten it, trying to reproduce that click or catch. And crucially, they'll feel the base of your finger in the palm.
Looking for that nodule.
Exactly. They can often physically feel that little bump, that swollen part of the tendon right where it's catching on the pulley. That's usually confirmation.
So unlike a broken bone, you don't typically need complex scans.
Generally, no. And this is sort of an aha moment the source points out. X-rays, MRI is usually not necessary for trigger finger.
Why not?
Because the problem isn't the bone. It's all soft tissue, the tendon, the sheath. The symptoms you describe and what the doctor can feel are usually enough to nail the diagnosis. Stenosing tenosynovitis.
Okay, so we know what it is, who tends to get it, how it's spotted. Let's talk treatment, because the sources suggest there are very effective ways to fix this. What's step one, phase one?
Treatment usually starts simple, aiming to calm things down.
Yep.
So phase one is conservative care.
Meaning?
Meaning rest, first and foremost. You need to give that irritated tissue a break. So avoiding those activities, the repetitive gripping that likely caused or aggravated it, is key.
Seems logical. What else?
Splinting is often recommended, especially at night.
How does that help?
Well, the idea is to keep the affected finger straight while you sleep. This prevents it from curling up into your palm, where the tendon might get stuck in that tight pulley overnight. It allows the tendon to rest in a more neutral, less irritated position.
Got it. And I assume pain relief?
Yeah, simple over-the-counter anti-inflammatories, ibuprofen, naproxen, that kind of thing. They can help manage the pain and reduce some of that initial swelling.
Okay, so rest, splinting, maybe some anti-inflammatories. What if that doesn't cut it after a few weeks?
Then we move to phase two, which is often very effective, the injection.
A steroid injection.
Precisely. A corticosteroid injection. The doctor injects it directly into the tendon sheath, right around the swollen, problematic area of the tendon.
So it delivers strong anti-inflammatory medicine right to the spot.
Exactly. It's targeted. And the goal is to shrink that swelling, reduce the inflammation quickly, and allow the tendon to start gliding freely again.
How well does that usually work?
It works very well for many people. The source material suggests success rates are high, somewhere in the range of 60 to maybe even 90% relief from just one shot.
Wow, that's impressive.
Huh.
So often, that injection might be all that's needed.
For a lot of people, yes, it can completely resolve the symptoms and they don't need anything further.
But not always, I guess. What if the finger is really badly stuck or locked for a long time, or the injection just doesn't work or wears off?
Right. If those conservative measures and the injection fail, then phase three comes into play, which is surgical intervention.
Surgery sounds serious. How major is this procedure?
It's generally considered a minor procedure, usually done as an outpatient, meaning you go home the same day. Often it's just under local anesthetic.
So you're awake, but your hand is numb.
Correct. The procedure itself is called an A1 pulley release.
Releasing that tight tunnel we talked about.
That's exactly it. The surgeon makes a very small incision in your palm right over that tight A1 pulley and carefully cuts the constricted band of the sheath.
Literally opening up the tunnel.
Yes, just releasing that tight spot so the tendon has room to glide without catching anymore. It immediately removes the mechanical block.
Simple concept. What's recovery like?
Usually pretty quick because it's a small procedure. You can typically start using your hand for light activities within days. There might be some soreness around the incision for a couple of weeks, naturally.
And does the surgery work long term?
Yes, the success rate for permanently fixing the locking and snapping is extremely high. It's a very reliable procedure when it's needed.
That's really encouraging. Okay, so stepping back, thinking long term. Once it's treated, either with injection or surgery, are you pretty much good to go? What's the overall outlook?
The outlook is generally very positive, especially if you catch it and treat it reasonably early. Most people get back full movement, full strength, no more snapping.
But are there any catches?
Well, the source does caution that if you let it go untreated for a really long time and the finger gets very stiff, you might end up with some residual stiffness or discomfort even after treatment. Early intervention is better.
And what about it coming back? We talked about those underlying conditions.
Ah, yes, that's the crucial point about recurrence. The surgery fixes the local mechanical problem, the tight pulley, but it doesn't fix the underlying reason why the tendon got inflamed in the first place.
Especially if it's related to diabetes or rheumatoid arthritis.
Exactly. So people with those conditions, the source clearly states, have a higher chance of it coming back, maybe in the same finger later on, or even developing trigger finger in a different finger or the other hand.
So real long-term prevention isn't just about fixing the finger, it's about managing the bigger picture.
That seems to be the strong implication. Managing the repetitive strain locally is important. Hand exercises, stretches, maybe modifying activities.
Right.
But if there's an underlying condition like diabetes, meticulous blood sugar control becomes a key part of preventing recurrence. If it's RA, managing the overall inflammation is critical. It's a two-pronged approach: local care and systemic health management.
That really elevates this from just a sore finger issue, doesn't it? It connects hand health directly to overall systemic health.
Absolutely.
So let's just quickly recap. Trigger finger, or stenosing tenosynovitis, is basically a swollen tendon getting caught in its tight sheath or pulley.
Right, causing that sticking and snapping.
Diagnosis usually just needs a good history and physical exam, feeling for that nodule.
Yep, imaging typically isn't required.
And treatment starts simple rest, splints, maybe anti-inflammatories, then moves to often highly effective steroid injections.
And if needed, a minor, very successful surgical procedure to release the pulley.
Okay, so here's the thought I want to leave our listeners with, building on that recurrence idea. If conditions like diabetes significantly raise the risk of trigger finger coming back, even after successful local treatment, it really makes you wonder, doesn't it? How much should we view managing these systemic conditions, the diabetes, the RA, as the primary long-term strategy for preventing not just trigger finger, but maybe many other localized musculoskeletal problems? Is controlling the systemic issue potentially more crucial than just resting the sore spot once it flares up?
That's a powerful question. Shifting the focus from just the local symptom to the underlying systemic health, it certainly gives you something to chew on.
It does indeed. We've just finished our deep dive into trigger finger based on high-quality patient education materials. Remember, this is purely for educational insight.
Always talk to your doctor or a qualified healthcare provider for any personal health concern or treatment decisions.
Absolutely. Thanks for diving in with us.
See you next time.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive.